Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We'll read the first five verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And let's pray, Father, thank you so much. Lord, what an honor and blessing it is just to be in this place, to be in a country where it's free to worship you the way you instructed us in the Word of God. Thank you for a preacher that has paid the price and walked with you. Now, Father, we're a needy people. Oh, so many blessings this week, but there's yet so many people to be reached. Please use us tonight. Use our preacher tonight so that we could go out and help others, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I will have to apologize to you because if you came this evening to hear a sermon that I announced this morning, I have felt it wise to do what I'm about to do, and so I'm changing directions a little bit this morning. I said that I would preach a sermon tonight entitled, What to Do About So-Called Failures, but I'm not going to do that. I'll make a second apology to those of you that are in our Senior Citizen Sunday School class. You will have to hear me repeat something that I said to you this morning because I want the entire church to know of something that we're doing in regard to our Senior Citizens Ministry. The title of my sermon tonight is this, We Want to Serve You Better. We Want to Serve You Better. I believe this. I believe those that are our senior citizens deserve the best. They are what made this country great. And so when you see someone that has that, what the Bible calls the crown of glory, that gray hair, you better stop and you better appreciate and you better respect them. And in this church, I want there to be a tremendous respect factor for those who are seasoned and they're veterans in the Christian life. I believe this. As I stood before the Jolly 60 Sunday School class this morning, and I was there, and I taught the Sunday School lesson this morning, I looked out, and I looked at people that have wrinkles, and I looked at some folks that had gray hair. I looked at some that were very, very tired. I looked at some who at one time had a spouse sitting by them, but no longer because death has snatched their spouse into heaven. But as I looked at them, I respected them. I appreciated them. And I thought to myself, thank God for those Christians who have paid the price through the years to keep a church like this open. And I want you to stop and realize something. There are a lot of veteran Christians here tonight that through the years helped to keep the doors of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church open. And I thank God for them. Some of you young couples, that you enjoy the fire and the excitement and the things that are happening around our church, you don't need to thank Brother Owens for that. You better thank some of these veteran Christians that have helped to keep this work open. Some of the ones that don't get a set all the way down front, they need to set toward the back. And some of the ones that walk a little slower through the hallways of this church, and the ones that walk a little slower coming from their car out here in the parking lot into this church building. I want all of us to realize what a privilege and what an honor it is to have the folks who have been here for many, many years as a part of our church. Let's be good to them. Let's take good care of them. Let's watch out for them. They're the true blue heroes. I enjoy something that happens here at the Martinsburg Christian Academy. When the young people are sitting in class, if one of their elders step into class, they all immediately rise in the presence of their elders. That's very scriptural. I think it is Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 32, that teaches that thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. And what that's saying is, young people ought to stand out of reverence for their elders when an elder enters the room. And that's not just for school, by the way. It used to be like that in our society. It used to be that young people shut up when the old people began to talk. It used to be that young people stood up when the older people entered the room. And I believe that. You say, well, that's old-fashioned, yeah, and morality's old-fashioned, and decency's old-fashioned, and integrity's old-fashioned. And we're not going to get rid of all of that. No, not at all. Not at all. And I just want our senior citizens to know that we love them, and we want to be of a service to them. Little Johnny asked his grandma, he said, Grandma, how old are you? And grandma said, 39 and holding. And little Johnny thought about it, scratched his head, and he said, Grandma, then how old would you be if you'd let go? Just a little bit ago, we read a passage of Scripture. That passage of Scripture finds us at a setting with the great man by the name of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You read together the first five verses. I want you to picture what's taking place here. Solomon is at his latter days. He's nearing the time of death, and he knew that. I picture Solomon is probably sitting in a rocking chair, or his favorite chair, probably a rocking chair. He has gathered all of his children and his children's children and their children. He's got his great-grandchildren, and he's got them all there. And I think they were sitting on the couches and the chairs and things. And I think then after the chairs were gone, the children were set on the carpeting there, and Solomon's maybe on his back porch. I think his servants were there. And Solomon is talking to them about the fact that he is old. He begins describing himself and describing what his life holds for him. For instance, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, what Solomon is saying to all these young people and all of his children, he's saying, my eyesight is failing me. I'm losing my sight. It's not like it used to be. I don't know how many times, I think four different times in the last 20 months, someone that is one of our senior citizens has come to me and said, Brother Owens, pray for me. I'm going to have cataract surgery. I've got to have cataracts removed from my eyes or a laser surgery on my eyes. As one gets older, their eyes begin to fail them. I don't know what that qualifies me for, but I know this, about 2 years ago, well, it's been 2 years since I've been able to read the date on my watch, and it doesn't matter what angle I look at it. For some reason, I think the numbers have shrank, but I can't see it as well. But I'll tell you this, there are people here that associate very quickly with the fact that as we grow older, our sight begins to fail us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3, it says, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. First of all, he said, my sight is failing me. I can't see very well anymore, young people. And then he said, my hands are trembling. He said, the keepers of the house shall tremble. I picture him sitting there, and he's trying to talk to these folks, and he's telling them. Now, the keepers of the house, of course, a man protected his home with his hands. That's how he kept his house up. And I picture him there. His hands are just trembling. His nerves have been affected. Life has wore on him, and he's telling the story. He says, I can't see well. My hands tremble. Solomon goes on as he's describing his situation. The Bible teaches that his shoulders were bent. It says here in Ecclesiastes 12:3, he says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Or you could use the word bow, but I think it is the bowing of the shoulders that he's talking about. He's saying, young people, my family, my hands shake. I don't see well. I've been over a little bit. My back is not as strong as it used to be. And then he goes on. And he says that he was losing his teeth and that his teeth ached. It says, and the grinders cease because they are few. The grinders, he's talking about that he ate with. He said, my hands are shaky, I don't see well, my back is bent, and my grinders are few, and they cease. In other words, his teeth had begun to fall out. I really believe that in this day and age, believe it or not, they probably had some sort of false teeth. I know they had running water and so many other things. Sometimes we think they were extremely primitive. If you'll check history, they were not as primitive as what we think. But if he had false teeth, he was probably able to take them out and say, young people, listen to me. And he could take his teeth and, you know, talk like a puppet with them or something and stick them back in. But he said, I'm losing my teeth. The grinding that I would hear as I'd eat my food, I don't hear it anymore because the grinders are few. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 3, it goes on and it says, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. You say, what is that? He probably wore glasses. He's talking about looking out of the windows. And he had glasses that he wore. His back was bent just a bit. He could not see as well. His hands were trembling. His teeth had come out and they ached. And he didn't have the teeth that he wished he had. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says this. It says, and the door shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. You say, what is that, Brother Owens? I believe Solomon was saying, I can't hear as well as I used to hear. I'm not hearing well. And then in verse number 4 again, he talks about being a little extra nervous and a little bit on edge. He said, I rise at the voice of a bird. First of all, he was saying, I don't sleep as well as what I used to. And for some reason, I'm up quite early in the morning. I remember when I would spend the night with my grandpa, who, matter of fact, just passed away about 5 weeks ago now. I remember when I would go over to his house, and my grandpa was a bricklayer, and what a strong man. And I used to watch grandpa take a bundle of shingles and throw it up on his shoulder and walk up a ladder and set it down. And I'd watch him do that when he was 80 years old, and I said, my goodness. I mean, they're not wimpy like men of today. They break their fingernails playing Nintendo today. But, I mean, my granddad was a tough cookie. But I remember I'd go over to his house, and I'd spend the night. He was always up so early. Now, I'm not sure that was out of character, though it most certainly could have been, but I know this. I know he woke up early. It just seemed like he woke up and he didn't sleep as well. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Solomon is saying he was a little on the edge, and at the voice of the bird, he would wake up. Now, I don't know what kind of bird that was. If I ask you, you might say, well, that was a sparrow. Probably not. Could be a rooster. The rooster will wake you up. I got to tell y'all, we got brother Young is deranged. He is. He's deranged. He gave his daughter wanted a pet. Now, what do most normal people give their daughter as a pet? Well, they give them a goldfish or a kitten or a puppy. Sarah has a rooster. Where is Sarah? Sarah has a rooster. Sarah, what's your rooster's name? Tyson. Yeah, Tyson. Maybe for Tyson Chicken, I don't know. What a cheapskate dad, give his kid a rooster for a pet. But Solomon said, I wake up at the voice of the bird, getting up very early in the morning. In verse number 5, it says this, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. What's it talking about? Solomon said, I have some fears I didn't used to have. I was thinking of Brother Skippy Burris, one of the best drywall men you'll find anywhere in the state. And I think of how Skippy through the years did drywall work and did a bunch of it around here. And I think of a fellow like that. And now Skippy, I think Skippy's probably getting into his late 30s, early 40s now. No, honestly, Skippy's a senior citizen. But it's a little more difficult to get up on that ladder. And the ice is a little scarier than it used to be. And the bad weather affects folks a little bit more, and the walk from the parking lot into the church in the dark is a little more difficult. And I think Solomon was saying, I'm trying to say to you young people, this is my state. This is what's happening to me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 5, it uses the words that the grasshoppers are a burden. What's it talking about? He's saying, I'm a little jumpy. I'm not as steady as I used to be, and I was telling the people this morning in the Jolly 60 Sunday School class, I said, you know, that we could almost associate that with the grandkids. Every grandparent loves their grandkids. They love to see them coming. They love to see them going. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to have grandchildren. You can have them till you've had it with them, then you can send them home to mom and dad. And most grandparents don't want to rear any more kids. They've had their fill. They don't want to do that. And by the way, let me say this to every one of you young people. When you get married, stay married so that your mom and dad don't have to rear your kids. They're your responsibility. You better make sure you know what you're doing before you go out and play in the back seat of somebody's car and get yourself pregnant out of wedlock. It's not your mom and dad's responsibility to rear your kids. That was a free commercial. But he was a little jumpy. Then the Bible says that in Ecclesiastes 12:5 that his desires were failing him. Maybe he was unable to eat like he used to. Even the physical relationship that he would have enjoyed with his wife in the earlier stages of life, it wasn't as important to him now as it had been back then. Now, there are people throughout this auditorium who could quickly associate with what Solomon is saying. Some of you would say, oh, Brother Owens, some of those things apply to me. I am reaching some of those years of the senior portion of my life. Yes, I believe that is true. I told our senior citizens this morning, I repeat it again tonight, I believe I would have liked to have been at that meeting with Solomon. Had I been one of his grandchildren or children, or had I been one of his young servants, this is what I would have said. I would have gone to him, and had I been a grandchild, I would have gone and I would have said, Grandpa Solomon, I want you to know that I want to help you. I want to serve you. I want to help you. As you describe some of these things, I don't think poorly of you because of these things. I love you and respect you. And Grandpa Solomon, I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to serve you. Had I been Solomon's pastor after that little meeting that he had and he began to describe himself, I would have gone to Solomon as his pastor and said, I want to give you a program in the church that will help you, that will serve you, that will meet your needs. You know, senior citizens don't want to be forgotten. They don't want to be forgotten. They want to be used, and they want to be useful, and they want to do what they can. Now, they can't do everything that everybody else can, but they do want an opportunity, and they want to be used. There was a gal that was at my church that I grew up at in back in Indiana. Her name was Mrs. Tartar, like tartar sauce. Mrs. Tartar. And as a teenager, let me tell you what I did. Every time Mrs. Tartar would pull into the parking lot of that church, I would go out and meet her. She drove an old green four-door Maverick. There are not any Mavericks on the road, and if they're out there, they're ugly. I mean, if they're out there, not many Maverick cars out there left, but she'd drive that old four-door Maverick into the church. And this is what I'd do. I stood at the back of the church, and when I'd see her car coming up the road, I'd go out to the parking lot. She would park. I would open the door for her. I would extend her my arm, and I would walk her to the church. I don't know why. It just happened to turn out that way. She was a widow, and I mean a true blue widow. She had lost her husband to death, and I would go and meet her. She'd come. She'd sit in the same place in the church every time. Church where I grew up, we had electric heat, but we couldn't afford to use it. And so we used two big wood burners on both sides of the church. Mrs. Tartar sat right near those wood burners. It was never warm enough, no matter how much heat we were pumping out of those things. She was never warm enough. She would sit there, and she would sing. She thought she was singing alto. It was monotone. But she would sing out and enjoy herself. I remember one night, the last words that Mrs. Tartar said to me, and I can't go into the whole story, but one night they had a little going away party for me when I was going off to Bible college. Mrs. Tartar had to leave before the little party. The party was right after the church service. She had to leave before the party because it would get too dark for her to be able to drive home. So she said to me, she said, honey, she said, will you walk me to my car? So I walked her out to her car, and people were meeting in the fellowship room getting ready to say goodbye to me, and I walked her out to the car, and she sat down in the car. She rolled her window down. She just patted me on the arm, and she said, honey, just remember one thing. Preach the word. I still see those age spots on the back of her hand, which some might have thought were unattractive, but to me that night they were so beautiful. And she said, honey, just preach the word. I'll be honest, they threw a big shebang for me that night. I was the sweetheart of my church. My youth ministry and the church running 120 people was averaging 80 teenagers a week. I was leaving to go off to Bible college. Lots of people said lots of things to me that night. Lots of people gave me lots of things that night. But I can tell you the simple, honest truth. I cannot remember one thing that was said to me that night. I cannot remember one gift that was given to me that night except for one. And that was a sweet, dear saint of a lady that said, honey, just preach the word. Next time I went home, they said to me, Mrs. Tarter went to be with the Lord. See, I'd been off at Bible college. The last word she'd ever spoken to me was, honey, just preach the word. Mrs. Tarter, I know you're up there. I've been doing it. I'll never forget your advice. Mrs. Tarter, I have been to college 5 different times. Don't remember 90% of what they taught me. But I can remember one thing that a godly, gray-haired saint said to me, honey, just preach the word. Mrs. Tarter, I hope you're not disappointed. You know, to our senior citizens, I want to say personally, and I think I want to say on behalf of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we want to serve you. We want to serve you, and we want to serve you better. Since I came here, we've started a bunch of new Sunday school classes. Why? Because we want to serve the people better. We want to serve the people. You understand? Every time we start a new class, the teacher, we're serving that teacher. You say, how? Because that teacher now has a flock of people that they're to oversee. They're to go out and reach people and build their Sunday school class, and now they're studying the Bible. I want us to serve you. To the students. The students are being served by every Sunday school class that we start. Now, Brother Tennis and I, for almost 2 years, we've been talking about the senior citizen ministry and what we wanted to do and how we wanted to handle it. And to be honest, we've taken our time. We've been very careful. Why? Because we didn't want to hurt anybody. We didn't want to scare anybody. We didn't want to upset anybody. And understand something, for everyone here, from our senior citizens down to the children, security means an awful lot to those that have gotten into their senior years. They don't like things to change a lot. Change is scary to them. You say, why? Well, it's safe in their routine. When they have a routine, they feel safe about that. And I understand that. But we want to serve them, and we want to be able to do more for them. And so today, in their Sunday school class, I unveiled some plans. And tonight, I'm going to share some of those plans with you. We are going to start 3 new Sunday school classes for senior citizens. We will end up then having a total of 4. We have 1 that is existing. We're going to start 3 new ones. Now, we are not splitting the class that is there at this time. At least it's not a mandatory split. If any of those people from that class would like to attend one of the new classes we're starting, they'll be welcome to do that. So let me say again, nobody in the Jolly 60 Sunday School class is going to be forced to leave that class. Nobody. They're welcome to stay right there if they want to. If they want to stay with Brother Tennis, who, by the way, has loved them and served them, they're welcome to that. Now, this is not just a plan of Brother Owens's. I'm being very honest about this. I've talked to other people about splitting their classes up. I never talked to Brother Tennis personally about it. He came to me and he said, well, you think that'd work with the senior citizens? I said, I think it might, but we want to be careful. We don't want to scare them. We don't want to change a bunch of things that would frustrate them at all. They deserve to have a pleasant situation here in the church. But if somebody wants to stay with Brother Tennis's class, they're welcome to that. We don't want to hurt them. And I'll tell you this, those of you that choose to go to one of the new classes, if you're in Brother Tennis's class, he won't be hurt by you going to one of those classes. You won't find a more humble servant of God. He's not in competition with everybody. He's just out to serve the people. That's what we want. So why are we doing this? Because we want to serve our senior citizens better. And let me say this to you also. If you're in one of the other classes, there's some senior citizens or people that will qualify for these classes in Brother Bush's class or in Brother Bajan's Ephesians class. If you're in some other class, your teacher's not going to be upset with you if you choose to go to one of these programs. We're not in competition with each other. We're trying to make every opportunity available for everyone to enjoy a Sunday school class. Nobody's going to think that if you leave Brother Bajan's class and you join one of these new classes, you're not disloyal to Brother Bajan. We're not going to call you a Benedict Arnold. That's not going to happen. The other members in your class are not going to do that to you. Isn't that right? That's right. That's right. Now, so let me tell you what we're going to do. We're starting three new classes. I'll tell you about them. The first class we're going to start will be for those that are 76 years of age and above. It's going to be called the Golden Years class. You or your spouse have to be 76 to qualify for this class, or you have to be handicapped to the point that you can't get up and down the stairs back here. Now, the teacher for this class is Brother Bill Stanley. His wife, Holly, will assist him. What we're doing is there's a little Sunday school classroom right back here where the choir meets. We are, as we speak, Brother Hawkins is putting a new handicapped accessible washroom in back here. But I just have such a hard time watching those senior saints struggling getting up and down those stairs. And so we're going to start a class for those that can't get up and down the stairs. Any age that can't get up and down those stairs may attend Brother Stanley's new class that we're going to start. Or if you're 76 and above, or your spouse is 76 and above. Now, let me tell you something. Bill Stanley is one of the finest men you ever meet in your life. Has lots of experience dealing with senior saints, and that room back there is room 109. And so, I'm making an announcement also tonight. Mrs. Owens very graciously has given up her Sunday school class back here. That's where her Sunday school class meets. She's going to go over into the gym where the rest of the war goes on Sunday mornings over there. She's moving. And so, if you have a child, and folks, listen to every word I say, because there are going to be people come to me and ask when this is happening. I'm going to tell you exactly when it's happening, so you all don't have to ask me. But that if you have a child that goes to Mrs. Owens, is that sixth grade girls? The sixth grade girls class, that class will be moving next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, the sixth grade girls class will meet in the gymnasium. When you walk in, it'll be the first cubicle on the right. Brother Bajan, that needs to be announced to all the bus workers so they're reminded next Sunday morning. Now, that's the first class. 76 and above, you or your spouse are that age, or you're under 76, but you can't get up and down these stairs without causing yourself all sorts of pain and grief. I wanted to get you on the lower level. Brother Bill Stanley is a wonderful man, and it is going to be a wonderful class. Class number two, a new class. We're starting a class for senior ladies only. The class is going to be called the Crown of Glory class. That comes from Proverbs 16:31. The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. When we see someone and their hair is turned silver, God says that is their crown, their royalty. We're calling our senior citizens ladies class the Crown of Glory class. This will be for any lady age 55 and up. So any lady that's age 55 and up and you'd like to attend this special class, especially designed for senior citizen ladies, and I realize you're not all to that senior citizen level, but we start at 55 because that has been the tradition of this church, so I'm sticking with that. You say, now where's that class going to meet? The class that is taught by Brother Tom Williamson is called the College and Career class. When you get to the top of the stairs, if you make an immediate right at the top of the stairs, it's the very first room there. Now, I don't have any other rooms on the lower level that I could give you right now, but that room is where it'll be. And again, Brother Williamson, thank you so much. This morning we talked about it. He didn't bat an eye. I said, could we have the college and career age people go to a new classroom? And he said, no problem, preacher. That was it. That's all it took. Thank God. And thank God for the attitude that's like that. Now, the college and career class, this is not starting next week. Okay? This is not going to start until the very first Sunday of April. The new college and career class will be one of the new rooms that Brother Hawkins is working on up by the PA booth. They'll be moving up there. And college and career, they're full of energy. They can get up and down another flight of stairs, and if they have to, they can carry Brother Williamson up there. And so, now, you say, who's the teacher? Mrs. Young. This is Brother Rick Young's wife, a pastor's wife, 17 years, and a fantastic lady. Now, I'll tell you you this. The same thing I said to the people in our senior citizens ministry this morning. I saved these teachers. Hey, I've needed teachers all over this complex to teach, but I held on to three people who are phenomenal people, the best, the best. These are the best people our church had to offer. I held on to them just for these senior citizen Sunday school classes that I knew I would start. I didn't start them right away because it's hard for senior citizens to make a change. They don't like change much, and I understand that. And let me tell you all, folks, you know, I realize that group, they're a miracle group. They've warmed up to me so wonderfully, it's incredible. And the truth is that they probably in their hearts say, well, Brother Smith didn't do it that way. Brother Smith didn't handle it that way. And folks, I tell you what, I understand that. Brother Smith was your pastor for 35 years. Why wouldn't you feel that way? So we waited almost 2 years to do anything because I wanted to make sure that you knew that I loved you. And this whole thing this evening, it's just because we want to serve you better. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to serve you better. So this senior ladies class will be for anybody 55 and above. It's called the Crown of Glory class. It'll meet in room 218. And it will be taught by Mrs. Young, just because we want to serve you better. That's all. Then, the third class. This class will be for people between the ages of 55 and 65. This class is going to be called the Young at Heart class. Now, it will be taught by Brother John Doss. He and his wife, Laura, will oversee this class. And again, top notch. I mean, Brother Doss is one of our new deacons. He is a great man. I mean, a great man. He has a lot to offer. He's a Bible college graduate. He's a man of God. He is somebody. Any one of these teachers, Mrs. Young could teach any ladies class in this church. Brother Doss could teach any class in this church. Brother Stanley could teach any class in this church. These are top-notch people. Now, we have built a new room. Some of you have seen it. Some of you have not. There's a new room that's above the entryway out here. It's actually back by Brother Tennis's office. Mrs. Lawrence's class is meeting back there. But there's a new room. It's on the second floor, and that is where Brother Doss's new class will be meeting. That's in room 204. You say, why? Well, because we want to better serve you. Now, let me reiterate something. Nobody has to go to Mrs. Young's class. Nobody. It's voluntary. We're just starting a new Sunday school class. Nobody has to go to Brother Doss's class. It's voluntary. Nobody has to go to Brother Stanley's class. It's voluntary. Every single person that is in the senior citizen ministry of our church, if you're in Brother Bush's class, you may stay there. If you're in Brother Bajan's class, you may stay there. If you're in Brother Tennis's class, you may stay there. We're just starting three new classes because I feel like our senior citizens deserve as much as a bunch of these young people deserve, and we're trying to make it so they have more opportunities. Now, the fourth class that we'll have for senior citizens is our existing class that Brother Tennis oversees, but we're going to need to change the name of that class because it's called the Jolly 60s class. Now, see, of course, right now that name is not indicative of the people that attend there because there are people that are under 60 there, there are people that are 60 there, there are people that are 70 there, there are people that are 80 there, and there are people that are 90 there. And so to call it Jolly 60, that does not describe what that class really is. And so Brother Tennis picked this name. His class, his existing class, is going to be called the Best Years of Our Lives class. They're going to continue to meet right where they meet. And as we bring new people into the church, we're going to encourage people that are 66 to 75 to attend Brother Tennis's class. But anybody that's already in our church that already goes to that class may stay there. Nobody's being forced to change or move or go anywhere. I want our senior citizens to be comfortable. Then, our senior citizen ministry as a whole, we're making a slight change in this overall program. Brother Tennis is our senior citizen director, and he will stay that way. He's our senior citizen director. He'll help with all of these classes. See, what we're doing is we're just getting a whole bunch more people involved, and we're going to better serve our senior citizens. We've called the senior citizen ministry the Jolly 60s ministry, but again, it's not indicative to the people that attend. So we're renaming it. We're dropping the 60s part. And our senior citizen ministry will continue to have that term jolly in it, but it's just going to be our Jolly Senior Citizens Ministry. Each of these four classes that we have will have four activities a year. Then the entire group will come together, and they will have four activities as a big unit. So we're going from, Brother Kenneth has about four activities a year with them now. I'm multiplying that to where they're going to have 20 activities a year. Because you have four classes having four activities, and then all four classes coming together for four activities a year. Why? We want to better serve them. We want them to have more activities and things to do with their time. Now, the new teachers started in that class up there today. The three new teachers met with the Jolly 60s today. They're going to be in there every Sunday between now and the very first Sunday of April, because it's the first Sunday of April when we're starting our new Sunday school classes. And we wanted our senior citizens to get to know them. If you missed the meeting this morning and you qualify for one of these classes, you get to know these teachers, you want to join their class, you're welcome to it. Now, one of the reasons for this is I want you to understand, you know, there's an awful lot of difference between a 55-year-old and a 95-year-old. Sometimes 95-year-olds still feel like those 55-year-olds, those young bucks, are kind of dumb yet. I mean, they're 40 years younger than them. But there is a difference. Just like 55-year-old men don't usually marry 95-year-old women, unless they're rich. But you have to realize, just when you get older, there's still age brackets. There's still a difference. And they need to know. What there's a group of people their age. Do they want to spend time with them? They may. Now, this is going to help better serve them. Some will not have to climb the stairs. There will be more activities. There will be more people to serve our senior citizens this way. And Brother and Mrs. Tennis are fabulous people, but I don't see how in the world they could ever keep up with 60 senior citizens in one class. It would run them in the ground. And Brother Tennis says, I love these people enough, I want to share them, and I want to get more people involved. And what better people to get involved than Bill and Holly Stanley and John and Laura Doss and Mrs. Young? This is fantastic. It's going to better serve our people. There'll be more people to serve them. Hey, and when you're in a little smaller group, you can get to know your friends a little better. I asked them this morning, I said, folks, do you realize there's some people in your Sunday school class, they've been coming here for months, you don't even know who they are. Because the class is so big. And they were back there shaking their head. Well, when you have smaller units, you get to know the people just a little bit better. And you can help more. Well, if you've got two ushers in one class today, well, if you've got four classes and you have two ushers in every one of those classes, suddenly you have eight people being ushers. And there's so many ways for more people to get involved. It will cause our senior citizen ministry to grow, I'll promise you. I will promise you. I'm going to preach a sermon on this sometime. I'm going to teach you a philosophy. Let me touch on it briefly tonight. You multiply by dividing. You multiply by dividing. Churches across country haven't learned it, but that's how it works. You take, for instance, Mrs. Klaus. Is Mrs. Klaus back here in the choir? Mrs. Klaus's class. Mrs. Klaus's Sunday school class used to be a class of boys and girls. She would run 25 kids or so. But we split that class, so there were just boys in one class and just girls in another. I was talking to Joe Lopez this morning, who sets up for chairs for Mrs. Klaus's Sunday school class. We probably split it about 5 or 6 months ago. She, during the program, runs 25 girls. Now, wait a minute. She ran 25 when there were boys and girls in the class. We split the class. Now she's running 25 again, and it's all girls. And the person that teaches the other half has about 20. So what one class that used to run 25 is now running 40 because we split the class, because you multiply by dividing. You say, that doesn't sound like good math. It's good biblical math. It works, and I know it works. This will cause our senior citizens ministry here to grow. Now, I'm just about finished. You bear with me for a few minutes. We've had the Lord's Supper tonight, and it'll take us a few extra minutes to get through this. Now, let me tell you some other opportunities. Remember this. No senior citizen has to go to any class. Now, eventually what's going to happen is this. Eventually, now we've got these little divisions for age groups, 55 to 65, and then 66 to 75, and 76 and above. Now, there's no way we're going to be able to stick with that forever. That was an initial way to separate things. After we get this thing started, there will be no promotion. The people from the 55 to 65-year-old group, they won't promote up. They'll all stay together, because you don't want to be jumping all over the place for the rest of your life. They'll just stay together. Later on, if we need to, we'll start another group for the youngest batch, the 55 to 65. We'll just start a fifth class someday. But once you get into a class, you get a stay in that class, and you don't have to worry that we're going to be shifting you all the time. It's one thing to shift, you know, first graders to second grade class, and second graders eventually to a third grade class, and third graders to a fourth grade class. But in all of our adult Sunday school classes here, you stay with your teacher the rest of your life. Except for, let's take, for instance, someone in college and career, once they get married, they could then leave college and career and go to a married couples class. But you'll stay with your teacher from that point on because none of us adults like change that much. But we had to get some new classes started. Remember, I'm not splitting the Jolly 60 Sunday School class. I'm starting three new classes, and we're taking the pressure off of class members so that they don't feel like they have to stay there. But if they want to go to one of these new classes because it's an opportunity that will help them, they may do so. Now, let me give you a couple other opportunities in regard to this. We'll have an invitation, and we'll go home. I'm eventually going to start a nursing home ministry here in our church. As soon as some people will change their life enough so they would be usable, I could get it started. But I will not have people in leadership positions that won't live right. So if you live differently off the property than what you live on the property, you won't qualify, and it won't take me much to know whether you do it or not. I've got enough insight into people. But some of you, if you just get right with God enough, I could use you. I'm just waiting on you. There are people that need to be saved and lives that need to be changed, waiting on people in this room to change your life enough so that you could be used to help reach somebody. So whatever you're hanging on to, it might be good that you give it up, so we could go ahead and start using you. But the minute I get enough qualified people, I want to start a nursing home ministry. We will go to them and preach in the nursing homes. In every nursing home that we can get in, from Winchester to Hagerstown, all over a three-county area, we'll go to all of them we can. And I would like to start a Sunday school class for nursing home people where we'll go out and pick them up and bring them in to us. Then, eventually, I'd like to see all of our senior citizens' Sunday school classes on the ground level. I feel uncomfortable for them that they are required to go up the stairs. So senior citizens, it is a goal of my heart that we're able to build either a building or figure out a way for all of you to be on the ground level. And somebody's out there has got $200,000. If you just get me a check tonight, I'll get started. We'll start breaking land, and we'll build a senior citizens place for them. And I'm not kidding. Somebody out there probably has it. But I want to get them on the lower level, and the ministry's going to grow, and I'll assure you that. And it's coming sooner or later. Then, all the people that work on my staff have reserved parking spots out here. We're doing away with all of those. I don't see any sense in the world of a bunch of young staff members having reserved parking. I'm going to do away with all of them. We're going to put where the staff parking is, we're going to put some signs out there for senior citizens so they can have the parking spots nearest the building. Of course, Dr. and Mrs. Smith's parking spots will be right out here. They're going to stay right where they are. We're not taking those, but everybody else is giving theirs up, and we are going, and Dr. Smith qualifies to park with the senior citizens. Now, Mrs. Smith doesn't. She's not quite there yet, but Dr. Smith does. But they're keeping their spots out here, and what you'll see is the spots up close are going to be for our senior citizens and for our visitors. That'll happen. It won't happen this week, but it's going to happen. Then, if you're a widow and you are 55 or above, and when I say a widow, I'm not talking about divorced. I'm talking about a widow indeed. A widow indeed is someone who has lost their husband. But if you are a widow indeed, according to the Bible, and you're 55 or above, this summer we're going to make available to you that we want to start mowing your yard for you. And I'm going to get a bunch of our young people involved, and we want to come to your home, and we want to mow your yard for you. And so it's just another thing that we want to do for you. And so the widows that are, now those of you that are not widows, don't make me feel bad by coming and asking if I can mow your yard or wash your dishes. I'm not going to do it. Those of you that, this is for widows, and they have to be 55 or above, you say, well, I wonder if I'm a 40-year-old widow. Mow your own yard. But if you're 55 and above, and you are a true widow, then we are going to get a group of our men together. I hope a bunch of our teenage boys, and by the way, every young person in here, you pay attention to what Brother Owens is doing tonight. The Bible says if you will honor your elders, you'll live longer, and God will give life to a church that takes care of its senior citizens. And we're going to do it here. Where everything's going to have to slow down while this whole church is growing and we're trying to reach people. Some people say children are the future of the church. Well, I've got news for you. Our senior citizens are a part of the future of the church too. We're not going to forget about you. We're not going to forget about you. And so, I'm done. I know I've been a little long. We're going to have an invitation and we're going to get ready to go home. You say, why are we doing this? Because we just want to serve you better. To everyone in here, as the years have increased, I want you to know your preacher loves you, the people of this church love you, and we're going to do what we can to serve you. That's why we're doing all that we're doing. God help us that we never, never turn our backs on those people that have paid the price to keep this church what it is today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, I've not talked a lot about salvation, but let me tell you something. If you're not saved, when you die, you'll die and go to hell, and that's not because I said so, it's because God said so. If you're not born again, in a moment we'll have a thing called an altar call. In a moment we'll all stand, the men on this platform will take their place at the end of each aisle. If you're not born again, when we give the invitation, we'll invite you to come. You leave your seat, you walk up to one of these men, you say, I want to be born again. Someone will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here and you've been saved but you've never made it public, you come tonight and we'll tell the people you've been saved. If you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, you come. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, you come. If you need to join this church, if you've been saved and scripturally baptized by immersion after your salvation, and you need to join a church like this, you come. If you're here tonight and you just need to use this altar for some burden or heartache, you come. A whole bunch of you ought to pray. If you've not made a commitment to our Faith Promise program, in a moment we'll quickly pass out cards and you'll have a chance to make that commitment. Maybe you need to come and pray about what God would have you to do. Father, take this night and use it to your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.